This morning, we're going to discuss faith, trust in the Lord. I have a lot to talk about, so it might be a continuation. Let's first start Psalms 25. Let's turn to Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art my God and my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness for they that have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All thy paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles. I also want to turn to, before I get started, Psalms 31. Psalms 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up in the hand of thine enemy. Thou hast set my feet in large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was reproached among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and fear to mine acquaintance, that they did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. Well, they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make the face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is the goodness, is thy goodness, which thou hast laid upon them that fear thee, which I have wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from thee before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest thy voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentiful, rewardeth the proud doer. But be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, and ye that hope in the Lord. These, and there was many, but these two scriptures, or not scriptures, but readings, I did a lot of in the last 6-7 months. And some of you know, some brothers and sisters know more than what I was going through. And, you know, we all lose the faith at one point or another. And I personally lost all hope, all faith, everything. And these are some of the scriptures that I had some brothers and sisters send me to read. And I read them every morning, every night, and it helped. It helped to know that there was somewhere you could go to and look for that help, and it gives you peace. And that's what it did for me. In this talk, I wanted to talk last week. I was going to ask Brother Mac to take his place, but I'm glad I didn't, because he had a great talk. And it's consumed me for the last 2 weeks, staying up at night, thinking about it. And it's, you know, when I think of faith, the first person I always go to, and there's a lot of, I don't even like to call them characters, because they're not characters, they're people, stories. A lot of stories in the Bible that you can go to, but mine, I wouldn't say favorite, but one of my go-to is Noah. What a faithful man that Noah was. He was, you know, not only faithful, but he was a just man. He was a perfect man. He walked with God. He was an obedient man. And he also was a faithful man. And, you know, I look at, you know, what I went through for, call it 6 months, 7 months, whatever you want to call it, probably 2 years, actually. As it got worse and worse, you know, you look at Noah and he, you know, I'm looking at myself of 2 years and still struggling with certain things, and he did it for 120 years. God told him to build this ark, you know, and I could imagine it was a desert, probably not, you know, brimming with a forest nearby, which it had to have been, because he had to get the wood from somewhere. And then once he cuts the tree down, he had to get the tree to the place where the ark was being built. So that was a feat. I mean, imagine you going out to your yard cutting a tree down. I mean, that's just one tree. Imagine how many trees he had to cut down to build this ark. And then once he cut them down, he had to get them ready. Then he had to get them to the ark, and then he had to set them in place. For 120 years, he did that. No rain, blistering probably in the sun. In the beginning, people were helping him, you know, giving him a hand. They trusted what Noah was doing. Imagine after 10, 15, 20 years of building this ark, no rain, not a drop. So they're building this huge ark. They're thinking to themselves probably, or why are we doing this? Well, that's where faith comes in. That's where trust in the Lord comes in. Noah did exactly what God asked him to do. No more, no less. He did exactly what he asked him to do. And so we put ourselves, so when the rains came, finally, after 120 years, there was only 8 people that were in that ark. 8 people that got onto that ark and were saved. And as the ark lifted up off the ground and the waters prevailed, or not prevailed, but consumed the earth, the ark was lifted. You know, and it says somewhere, I'm going to be reading this further, but it says the ark rode the waves, or rode the ocean. I'll read it here in a little bit. You know, think about it. The ark didn't have outboard engines, didn't have a GPS, didn't have rudders. It had God. God was the rudder. God was the engine. God was the GPS for that boat. You know, Noah was locked in with his family and them animals inside an ark. It was a floating box. That's all it was. It was to save 8 people. And, you know, and it's hard to think about when you think about it. You don't think about where it went. It went where God wanted it to go. You know, and that's what we need to do now in our lives, especially mine. When I talk about this talk, it's about me. It's about, you know, it's about all of us, but it's about me. It's about trusting the Lord, because I did physically and mentally lose trust. You know, it's, you know, the old saying, why me, why not me? You know, we can sit here and say why me all the time, but it's why not me. You know, it's that knocking on the door that sometimes, you know, some of us are more stubborn than others. And, you know, at that time, you know, I'm not going to go into detail about it, but there were a lot of brothers and sisters that called me, text me. Some were, you know, longer texts, 3, 4, 5 texts. But I appreciated that. I was in the hospital. I got those texts. Sometimes I didn't respond back just because I wasn't either, but I was reading those. And it does mean a lot. You know, when we do these cards for these people, it means a lot, believe it or not. Even though if you don't hear a thank you back or a response back, it does mean a lot. Because it just helps. And I don't know what about it, it helps. It knows that other people are caring or thinking about you in the time of need. That's when it needs to be more, you know, abundant of that help, you know, because our family was in, and it just wasn't me, it was my whole family. It wasn't, you know, I caused misery on my family. It wasn't just me. It was going down the line. It was very, very unpleasant. But this talk that I wanted this morning is about Noah, is about this. It's about trusting the Lord. You know, no matter where we go in life, no matter what we do, where we're at, we can go out first Sunday, we can go to a park, we can go to, you know, the property, we can go wherever. We have to trust that in this room, we have to trust the angels are in this room right now protecting us. They're, you know, I'm not saying go out right now and go out to the train tracks right here and put your arms up in the air and say, you know what, I'm waiting for the next train to come and see what happens, because I trust in the Lord. That's not trusting the Lord, it's testing the Lord. You don't want to test them. You want to trust them. Trust in the Lord that the angels are in this room right now watching us. You know, we see the newscast, you know, South Carolina, gunman comes in and shoots prisoners. Waffle House comes in. These people are just, they're sick. But is it sad? Yes. But we also know these things has to happen to have Christ come back down. These wars have to happen. These things have to happen for this thing to come to pass. We know that. Is it sad? Yes, it's very sad that some of these people out there are good people, but they just don't know the truth. They think they know the truth, but they don't really know the truth. So when we leave these doors today, we have to understand that we are protected. You know, I'm not saying there's nothing bad ever going to happen to us. That's not what I'm saying. It happens all the time. We have to also believe that when we gather in His name to study and learn His word, that we're protected. We don't have to worry about the outside coming in. We don't have to worry about going to these parks or to these things and isolate ourselves. Imagine when the disciples in Christ did that, if they just isolated themselves and just walked away and didn't want to talk to no one. You know what? We're good. We don't need to talk to anyone. Where would we be now if it wasn't for Christ, for the disciples taking that stand and going out preaching the gospel? They preached to people that hated them, that disliked them. Where would we be if they turned their backs and just said, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to lock myself up in this little room right now and let them worry about it. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to trust in the Lord in everything that we do. It's here in the scriptures. No, it's in Noah. It's David. It's Jonah. I mean, we can go on and on. It's what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to read the scriptures, and how we're supposed to understand the scriptures of when we leave this building and what we're supposed to do as believers. Okay. I'm going to give I'm going to take a reading out of the story of the Bible. And this is for the young children too, to kind of refresh their minds of the story of Noah and what it can teach us. The story of Noah can teach us lessons of Christ's second coming. We can well imagine that the people of Noah's day would feel a little alarmed seeing all this activity of the animals and birds entering the ark and Noah and his family safely shut away. You know, God did close the door of the ark and shut Noah in. And shutting him in, he shut the others out. This was a divine judgment on that wicked generation. It reminds us of the parable of the 10 virgins. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. But towards the end of the week, a great change occurred. The sky became overcast. It looked dark and lowering. Great black clouds rolled over the heavens, blotting out the sight of sun. And as the week came to an end, the people heard the rumble of thunder and saw angry lightning streak across the sky. The wind rose until it was shrieking through the trees and the roaring around the homes of the people. And as they closed their doors and shivered inside, their doubtless remark that they were in for quite a storm. I mean, just imagine, again, you know, you build this huge, I like to call box, boat. It's not even really a boat, it's just a floating box. That, you know, and it brings us back, you know, I get ahead of myself, to where reminds us of the time I was reading, and I will get to it, like I said, where the ark is related back to Moses when he was put into the basket. It was just a floating box to carry Moses down the river safely. That's what the ark was. The ark was a floating box to carry eight people that believe, that trust in the Lord, to carry them to safety. And the door was shut to keep out the unrighteous. Let's turn to a few verses on faith. That these are some of the verses that, you know, helped me through going through this. There's so many verses in faith that it's overwhelming, actually. But these are some of the ones that I read. Like I said, Psalms 25 and 31 were a lot of the ones that brothers and sisters had me read, or, you know, sent to me and asked me to read that would help. And these are some of the other verses that I found that I read that would help. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, chapter, or verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, we can relate where it says, when thou walkest through the fire, it's when thou walkest through the trials. And that's what I was going through. I was going through trials. Trials that I have never experienced before. And these are, like I said, it's, you know, to lose the faith is not a good feeling. You know, especially when you're baptized and you know, it'd been different 15, 20 years ago when, you know, like I've always told you, I never prayed because there was no reason to pray. I was praying for the wrong thing. Just like all the other people that aren't believers, true believers, that, you know, what they're doing is not correct. And I knew the same thing. You know, even though I wasn't baptized, I didn't pray. There was no need to pray. I wasn't baptized. I knew it wasn't going to do anything for me, so I didn't. But, you know, that was a good verse that I read a lot through the trials of my, you know, that I went through. Let's also turn to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, will I uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's also turn to Isaiah 66, verse 9. Isaiah 66, verse 9. Shall I bring to the birth, and not to cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth, and shut thy womb, saith God? Let's also turn to Psalms chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Psalms 9, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for the Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee. You know, and I got a, you know, and I read that, and I got a text from a brother that, you know, I'm just paraphrasing. What he texted me was, you have to be in the race to win the race, to be the internal race. You have to be in it to win it. And I was not in it at all. I gave up. I was done. But you know what? The brothers and sisters weren't. You know, my brother called me every night, you know, talking to me. I decided to start hating him. Didn't want to talk to him. So I came up with an excuse. Didn't want to talk to him anymore. So I told him, don't talk to me no more. What did he do? He kept calling. He kept talking to me. And I was wrong. But you know what? You don't give up on family. You don't give up on the brothers and sisters in the ecclesia. You try to help them and work with them. And that's what he did. And that's what, you know, some brothers and sisters here did for me. And it meant a lot. And like I said, these readings that I'm doing helped me tremendously. Let's also turn to Romans chapter 8. And I apologize if I'm all over the place. It's just something from the heart that I've been dealing with that I need to just talk about. And Romans 8. Chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And let's also turn one more to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And I can tell you from personal experience that all these verses did help. And, you know, God was with me. I just was not with him. And, you know, it got to a point where, like I said, some brothers and sisters know, my family knows that it got to a point where it was close. It wasn't good. And, you know, with that, with prayer, with, you know, going back and reading these helped me tremendously. And I'm still struggling, you know, with certain things. But you know what? That's what we have to do in life. We all have to struggle to, you know, in certain things in our life and hopefully don't lose the faith. And if you do lose the faith, you know, regain it back. And like I said, I love the story of Noah just because it gives me so much hope that this man did what he did, you know. And in our lives, I mean, we don't even live to the age of 120. He was on this earth for 120, building this ark. So that, you know, the trials that we go through don't compare to what he went through, don't compare to, you know, what our Lord and Master went through. But I don't think it's for us to understand or to compare. It's for us to learn and to hopefully take what these people did and what God has written in the book for us to understand and for us to try to do better and try to, you know, have that trust in the Lord. And, you know, you can say I have trust in the Lord, or you can say I really, really have trust. And there's a difference. Someone walks around and says, I have trust in the Lord. But it's in your heart. It's what's in your heart. And are we all going to fail? Yes, we're all going to fail. We fail every day. You know, it's just like when you make a mistake in life. It's what you do after that mistake, I think, that makes a man, that makes that person. You know, we can sit here and, you know, it's like in business. You make a mistake, it's what that business does at the end of the day to correct that mistake. Same thing in our life. It's what we do when we fail. What do we do at the end of the day to correct it? I'm not saying it's going to be the end of that day. It could be the end of 3-4 more years down the road day. But, you know, God gives us that time to recover, to, you know. I mean, imagine if we didn't and we were all just stricken down because we did something wrong. None of us would be here right now. And what one person in this room would be here, because we all do fail. He gives us that time to try to improve, to try to understand. Sometimes he knocks on that door a little bit more than others. You know, like my family would always tell me, you know, you should be worried if you're not having any trials in your life. If you're going through life with just like it's perfect and nothing, he says, you might want to start worrying a little bit, you know. And it's when those trials come is what we do with them. And unfortunately, they come and we still fail. You know, I sat in class years ago with me and Sister Heather was first starting to do class. And it's like, how can we read this Bible? This Bible tells us exactly what to do and not what to do. How can we not follow that? How can we not sit here? We've got it right in front of us. Tells us exactly what we should be doing. But we'll leave this room, go out them double doors within an hour. Most of us probably did something or said something or sinned already or thought something bad. Cut someone off, you know. But it's right here. It tells us right here in the Bible what to do and what not to do. But see, we all know better. We all think we know better. We think sometimes we know more than what God does. You know, and that's the problem that we get into. That's when we need to start trusting in the Lord and understand that, you know, we have it sitting right here. It's right here, sitting right here. But we still fail. And that's when I was talking to Heather. I don't understand it. I don't understand how we can sit here and read and then we just do the opposite. Because that's what sin is. We have to overcome it. You know, it's easier to do the wrong thing than the right thing. We do the wrong thing all day long. It's easy. But to do the right thing, it takes work. And a lot of people out there don't want to do that work, just like with anything. You know, I find that in business. You try to find someone that wants to dig a hole. Ask them to dig a hole correctly would be an understatement. You know, but it's called work. It's called every day. It's called putting the effort in. And to be honest with you, I've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work. A lot of effort to put in. But you know what? It's something that we all have to do. I want to close because I have to do this in 2 pages. I want to close with reading Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth. The persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Nor the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be the fruit of the Spirit, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, even envying one another. Thank you. Now enter into our memorial hymn, singing 152. According to thy gracious word, before thine agony, this will we do, our absent Lord, we will remember thee. Hymn number 152.